the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.
I'm a gamer. I'm wearing a bikini.
You screaming up.
Hey Gomez, welcome to another aspect of
aspect.
No,
this is the new aspect.
I know we didn't say it. I'll probably add it later. Screw it. I'm not. I'll probably say it at the end of the show where you can find us. If you found us, great. I'm sitting across from me because it's time for introductions. Across from me, resident table hider and husky lover. Zombie Bunny.
Hello.
Hey.
And
squish squish.
Squish squish. And to my right, there's an artist, Caps Lover. I'm currently taking his SATs as we speak.
That's right.
Big Candy.
What's up, yo? I'm here.
And I'm the Rev. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. In this episode, we're talking about, as both my co-hosts are sketching right now, we're kind of talking about movies and what we love, what we
yeah
love. Best part of the movie. Now I won't say of the movies, so to speak. I'm sure there's plenty of movies that pretty much suck, so to speak. Have you guys ever walked out of a movie?
Yes.
Which ones?
No.
No.
My mom won't let me. If I spend my money on the ticket, I'm not allowed to walk out of the film. I have to sit there and watch whatever film I'm watching, whether it's good or whether it's terrible.
Wait, you are an adult, right?
I am an adult.
You are an adult.
I'm a miser is what I am.
Your mom made you into a miser.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you spend good money on a ticket. And then
it's good
you
money
walk out in the middle of it, you're not going to get that refund.
You need to start spending more bad money on it. That's what
I walked out within the first 20 minutes of Anaconda.
Wow, that's a bad one. No, I Operation Condor, Jackie Chan movie, yeah. Couldn't take it.
You couldn't watch?
It was bad. It was bad.
Getting the Anaconda bad.
Bad, bad. Oh, the plot made no sense. Like, there was just stuff going on. I couldn't even concentrate on what the hell was supposed to be. And I was just like, this is dumb. I walked out. Almost walked out on me and my wife. Almost walked out on Ghost Rider 2. Spirit of Vengeance. Yeah, it was that bad. Did you ever see it?
Yeah, I got it on DVD.
Yeah, I don't know.
Buddy of mine didn't like it so much. He's like, I don't care here. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I don't own that one very much.
And?
Yeah, I almost walked out on that one.
What? What movie would you walk out of?
Would I have walked out?
Yeah.
See, I don't really go to a lot of movies, but
that's coming from a person who works at a movie theater.
I works at a movie theater now. If I had gone to see 10 Cloverfield Lane, I would have probably walked out. Like, first 10 minutes, there's no monster? Okay, goodbye.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing with, at least with the original Godzilla movies, they're campy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you, for at least my generation when it came to Toho, you heard Toho, all you would expect is bad dubbing,
yeah,
bad effects, guy in a suit, and models being destroyed.
Yeah.
And
in other words, no reviewer is going to touch that going, well, this is Oscar, you know.
It's like hearing Trauma, you know. It's like you're not expecting a whole hell of a lot.
Right.
With the movies, it's, you're going into it knowing exactly what you expect. If it comes out higher in your eyes, it's that good. It's,
yeah.
When Godzilla 2000 came out, I watched it at Regal. I'm not talking about the Sony one.
No,
the first Sony one. The
one that had the greatest ending ever. Thank you, Godzilla. We love you. Bah, I just waste the city. I'm like, yes.
But Godzilla 2000 was put out by Toho. And I was one of like three people in the entire fucking theater. It was me, another adult, and he was like 8-year-old son. He's like, and the kid was like, why are we watching this movie, Dad? And it was one of the best answers anybody could have given. He said, I used to watch Toho Godzilla films as a kid. I want to share that experience with you. And I can't deny that. It's
bad dubbing, the bad kid effects. Was like, thanks?
Well, it was dark. Can't see. They were first row.
Oh, so in other words, the kid was over there like strangling himself with a fucking phone cord. No.
Well, the only thing that really makes me almost want to flip a table are remakes. Literally remakes.
Yeah.
Depending on what it is.
Did it really have to be remade?
Right.
Yeah.
And we kind of discussed a little bit about, in our last host, well, in reference to the Ghostbusters, redo, reboot, whatever it is. In my eyes, depending on the remake, is done well. The Judge Dredd remake has been done well.
Yeah. Well, the remake of the was that a remake, or do you think that was just a standalone film?
It might have been a little bit of both.
Right.
Because
it had to be made because something had to redeem that awful piece of crap.
It stood out. It did. It's what it did right. It's like to me what the Friday the 13th remake was.
Ugh.
Now compared to the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. That was horrendous.
Ah, yeah.
Friday the 13th remake, I saw it in the Regal Theater in Hagerstown. The big one.
The big one.
It was the funniest movie experience of my life.
Really?
I say that because, like watching most movies, some of the movie experience depends on the atmosphere you're going to watch the movie. I had to sit, it was jam-packed.
Mm-hmm.
The only seat that I was able to sit in was front row. Behind me was a bunch of tween girls. You're thinking, oh shit, fuck. Tween girls.
Mm-hmm.
The whole theater was scared of lightning. lightning. If folks watch this movie, I mean, it's a great remake. It was done well, but lightning would flash. You'd hear the rumble of lightning, and people were like, "Oh my god!" And the tweens behind me were so fucking scared. Literally, they were going, "I should have said I seen this movie and just stayed in the bathroom for the two hours."
Wow.
Yeah, I was sitting in my chair and trying not to laugh, not at the theater, not the movie, at the people behind me.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because it was the funniest experience I had watching a movie, and the complete flip of that was watching the Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Right.
I thought the person who played Freddy tried to do his best, but it was just mishandled.
Yeah.
Writing-wise. And
clumsy.
Everybody in the theater thought the movie was literally a comedy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
No.
And that was one of the pissier moments with the remake. It is like, it didn't need to be done. The original set was campy.
Yeah.
Robert Englund was the part. It's like Mark Hamill being the voice of the Joker,
right.
And everybody else trying to come up to that bar that he set.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a very high bar, fan-wise.
RoboCop. I wasn't a fan of the RoboCop remake.
I thought it was decent.
It was a good movie in and of itself.
Yeah.
But as far as like a RoboCop movie, no. Because it took too much from the original. Like, and not in a good way. Like the bad part is it took some of the campiness away. And I think with something like RoboCop, you have to add campiness because it's just a ridiculous concept in and of itself. Oh, robot cop. Why not just make a real robot cop? Why have a guy stuffed in there? Like, that's dumb.
To me, the movie you should rate, the third one, was super campy.
Yeah.
Not the best in the series.
The third one. Let's not talk about RoboCop but 3, because...
The series, the TV series, was...
Worse than that, yeah.
It was decent, but it was campy good in a way.
Yeah.
But TV mini movies that were supposed to take place like many years after.
Oh yeah, yeah. Were,
a lot of people I know, a few people that love those.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was those two. Even though they tried to bring back the dark tone of the first movie,
yeah,
they just missed. And it was like, I have no qualms of what they tried to do, but they brought in another person as a RoboCop as well,
yeah,
to fight RoboCop,
yeah,
and they called him RoboCop 2.
Yeah, no.
And it was like, really, you're stretching as it is, and you're stretching even more.
Yeah.
And
it's like kicking a dead horse.
Yeah, right.
Come on, kicking a dead horse is fun. Get,
you take that horse. Take that.
Can't pay for destiny.
Can't do anything back, because you're dead.
See that green patch right there that's greener than the rest? Yeah. See how it's oddly shaped as a horse? Yeah. That's the horse we beat. And we're going to pound that spot until it's nothing but barren ground.
Oh. I don't wonder, what are some other, like, remakes? Superman? That was a vomit fest.
As compared to what? You mean Superman Returns?
Oh my god. Superman Returns was bad, but Kevin Spacey was...
Sorry about that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Everybody went through that.
I never watched it in the theater, but I watched it on television once, or tried to watch it. I, like, caught it, like, right in the middle.
Yeah.
And I'm just like...
Yeah.
Yep.
Your face.
Changing the channel.
That's how I felt.
Changing the channel.
Kevin Spacey was awesome in it as Lex Luthor.
No.
I think so.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I thought he was great. Yeah. But the rest of it, like Brendan Routh and his giant penis that couldn't fit in the... They had to CGI out of the freaking like suit. Did you ever hear about that one?
No.
Okay, so Brendan Routh apparently has a giant wiener. And it was obscene. In the suit, so they had to CGI it, the whole thing out.
As compared to Watchmen, where you had it pretty much smacking in the face every 10 minutes.
Yeah, but that wasn't Brendan Routh. That was, like, that was what's his name, and he had a normal size wee wee. But that was, yeah, that was pretty bad too in the theater. I'm just like, it's a giant blue penis. So, but that movie was okay. Watchmen was,
It was one of the first darker,
yeah,
you know, superhero type movies.
Yeah,
and I remember again one of those movies I watched at the Hagerstown Regal.
Yeah,
and coming back from getting a refill for my drink, somebody was walking out, thinking it was equivalent to an X-Men,
yeah,
or a Superman. It's a lighthearted, you know, bright. Oh,
no.
And she was trying to lace it into the usher. Thinking that it was thus, like, how did I went, I pretty much had to, like,
yeah, you
let me take this because I can throw a shock at this bitch, unlike you can. And it's like, let me pull up my geek card for a minute. You know, like, this was written by Alan Moore originally.
You're going to have a bad time. Wow, I can't imagine taking kids to that one, having to explain.
Oh, God.
Too much to explain. Too much to.
Not really that hard. Well, you see? That's called a penis. Only boys have that.
Well,
no, but that,
why is the giant man's penis blue?
But that was
because he's radioactive.
Because he's basically God.
That was the funniest. Get a little bit off topic. That was like a funny YouTube thing that someone posted of their the father's holding his daughter, and she's literally in tears, and she might have been like maybe 3 years old at the four most,
right?
And mom, dad's trying to comfort her, being a dad, and mom just has the phone out recording her, and she's asking, "Why are you crying?" "Because my brother has something I don't have." And she's like, you know, trying to be a, you know, what's wrong with my daughter? And dad's patting her back. "It's okay, it'll be fine. What's wrong? You know, what does he have? We'll fix it." And she said, "What does he have that you want?" And her response, "He's got a wee wee, and I don't have one." And it was the most innocent thing a girl her age could say.
Yeah.
And it just, you saw the kind of a little bit of confusion, and the dad, like,
It was just like a smile. Yeah. Went from like, huh, what? Yeah, you know, perfect response. And like, we'll talk when you're older.
And yeah, try potty training a toddler. You get some funny conversations about that stuff. Yeah. My kid likes to go, what? Yeah, just pee in the toilet. All right, pee on the Cheerios. What? Yeah, they had to make a game of it. Anyway. But you know, in the other Superman, killer hippie Superman.
You mean number three?
Killer homeless Superman. The newer one.
Oh, the new one.
The last one.
The last one?
Yeah.
I thought you meant the Superman, what's it, four?
No, but those.
The one put out.
At least those. Yeah, that was really bad too. But no, the.
We'll talk about Canon films in a moment.
Yeah. Those were at least the same actor and doing the same, you know, the original Superman movies. I think part two is brilliant. You know, I thought part two was great. Well, one and two.
We said penis, and now I hear alarms.
Uh-oh, the penis alarm's going off, folks. But...
Quick, hide.
Why would you be hidden if the penis alarm's going off?
Anyway. Do you have something to tell us?
Nope.
Can you spell eyes? But oh lord, it's just a calamity.
I think we just hit the standard. We went a couple of months without hitting standard,
right?
And she's in chairs attacking our co-host.
I got hit by a staple.
Oh,
staple!
It hurt.
Was pointy.
You huge pony. But no, the new one where that you spend half. Yeah, no, the Superman.
Man of Steel.
Where half the movie he's like a homeless guy, and then all of a sudden he's like, I'm Superman, and then he kills guys.
Where did he get the costume? I don't understand.
Basically, it was given to him by his father.
Yeah.
Which was a hologram.
That's what?
What's his name playing his father? Was at least a good choice.
Yeah, it's all right.
Did you know that they were supposed that they were going to make a Superman movie with Nicolas Cage in it?
Yeah.
Kevin Smith was initially supposed to write that one too, but they wanted a giant spider, robotic spider in it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Began the Wild Wild West.
It eventually made it to Wild Wild West. Movie Wild Wild West with Will Smith.
Yeah.
Which
was amazing, by the way.
Two documentaries I recommend based on movies. One is on music, the other one's on movies. The one based on movies is it's called Electric Boogaloo. It's on Netflix.
Right.
It's about the movie studio Canon Films.
Right.
Who put out don't know what Canon Films is. They put out the Death Wish series.
Yeah.
They did Superman 4. They did Over the Top. They did a whole mess of these bad movies.
They're quintessentially just 80s movies.
They did... They just go to these with a poster, with a concept.
Yeah, we want to make this.
This movie, and people would say, yeah, we'll give you money. And then there would be no script, no actors, no nothing. And they would just make a movie based on a poster. And the movie would be nothing but what the poster tried to reveal.
Lots of lasers and like bad hair.
And the thing is, they were talking about, it was on the podcast, How Did This Get Made?
Yeah.
About one of the films that they did was supposed to be this rock opera musical called The Apple.
Oh.
After it premiered at, I think, Cannes.
Yeah.
It came to such a bad review at Cannes, one of the CEOs tried to commit suicide. And they handed out the soundtrack, and people kept throwing it at the screen. It was like that. I mean, it was just every movie had to be... Like, there had to be... It was standard 80s stuff. It was like, women had to be topless, had to be this, that... I mean, it was completely bad. If to all the Star Trek fans...
That's a training montage.
Training montage, a lot of stuff. And for you 80s, late 80s, or I should say Star Trek The Next Generation fans, if you ever want to see Counselor Troy topless, watch some McKenna films because a lot of those, she was topless in those films.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, these were movies back in the 80s that nowadays you can't get away with a PG film or a PG-13 film. We're talking about movies that, like, there's a movie called Sheena.
It's
one of the early comic book, because Sheena is a comic book.
Yeah.
It was one of the early comic book movies. It was like a female, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, big-chested...
Jungle woman.
And in the movie, she's topless for a good 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking literally, like, the day she was born, topless, and it's a DG.
Oh, she looked like that day she was born.
Well, no one can look.
That would be an odd looking baby, let me tell you. This baby has full breasts. And there's your sound clip for the new season. This baby has full breasts.
My name makes the next sound drop. This baby has full breasts.
Can't do it. Too many visuals, I gotta stop. It's gross.
Again, we're a little over it. When this drops, we'll be closer to the 9 month mark. And for the second half of the year that we're here, Big Candy gives us our second big major second drop.
Thank you. So Superman and what else? I mean, the Batman franchise was okay so far. which now we're going into our third volume of that, right?
Kind of, sort of, because Batman vs. Superman is supposed to be a sequel to Man of Steel.
But it's also the first intro to Affleck Batman.
Which is...
Batfleck.
To me... It's one of those things that we discussed in the last Hostful that some people, depending on how they cut the trailers, either ruins the movie or makes you want to watch a movie, because we've seen it before with, like last year in 2015, with Terminator Genesis, that in essence the trailer ruined the whole movie, and that's why we don't have any more sequels for it, because it didn't do too well.
Mm-mm.
A lot of times, because nowadays you have people who work in theaters, present company excluded, where there's a premiere, because it's all digital, instead of getting a reel in, or a bunch of reels that have to be reel put together,
right.
They're given a DVD, and they take that home, that DVD home, or, oh, it's not playing right now, or... movie theater employee might be working one night and the next night, so they take that DVD home, they rip it, and they easily bring it back the next day.
Yeah.
And no one's the wiser, and they got a copy, and they're giving it out to their friends, and that's how a pirated version might be released.
Oh, yeah.
It's
exactly how it's released.
Yeah. Instead of the whole...
Or you pay the employee at the theater, like, X amount of money, because you know you're going to make this amount of money off of it. Because I got a guy that sells movies. I ain't going to lie. I got a guy that sells movies for $5. So...
You got to hook me up with Uncle Tony for a little bit.
Or yeah, right? Right?
It's like, I don't want to see this movie. I'll pay $5 for the DVD for it.
Yeah, even if it's a... sitting in the theater copy with people getting up and walking around. Which is sometimes really funny. It's like there's a scene
in... Drop the camera?
There's a scene in Force Awakens where they're like... It's like the scene where they're all getting in the TIE... Or not TIE Fighters. They're getting in the X-Wings and Finn's like spinning around like, hey, there's so-and-so. And somebody gets up and walks out. I'm like, where'd that guy go? It looked like it was in the movie. It's like, where's he going to?
Go ahead.
It's time for a text message!
Yeah, you actually hearing my phone go off.
Ringtone silent. God.
It is on silent.
I put mine on silence. It's courtesy, man.
Right? Jeez. Wheeze.
Basically, we got a message from... As you heard us mention in the previous podcast that...
we are friends with Matt Burns, who's doing a... he just gave us... This is an show exclusive.
Oh, shit! Dropping exclusives.
How would you like to be... to be linked with comicbook.com?
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
I'm responding right now and saying hell yeah.
Hell to the yeah.
Hell to the his yeah.
So...
I tried to make that sound cool, and it just came out like lame. But
it happens.
Said,
okay.
You have,
it's okay.
I said with like Canon films.
Yeah.
I can't help but love those films because they're bad.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
They're awesomely bad.
Yeah.
And I can't help but watch Over the Top every now and again.
Oh, and every song on the soundtrack is going down that road, the road down. And what an awesome concept. I gotta get my son back home, but in the meantime, I'm gonna arm wrestle dudes.
And.
Yeah.
It's a text message! Says, response back says, killer, I am now a contributor for them. So.
So, show exclusive.
Yep. Ooh, we're being part of comicbook.com, which is great for us. We might get a few more link ups and all that. That's great.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. And that's the thing. What about horror movies? You know, but before we get to that, in regards to what's the standard time frame for a decent remake?
Like, you mean like how many years?
Well,
20 at least. Well, that gives it time for a new audience. Because, like, if you think about it, like, okay, Ghostbusters, for instance. Ghostbusters was when we were little kids. Or when you were sperm. I said when you were sperm. So.
Well, half of her would have been.
Right. When you were born?
1991.
19. 91. Fuck! I'm old. Anyway, so. So, yeah, you weren't even sperm yet. So. Okay, for us. I mean, Godfather here. That was when we were merely children. We were little kids. And so it was exciting for us then. So you get to see it on videotape and on DVD, which is exciting for you. So now, years later, you're an adult. Now you get to experience a new version.
Which is probably why I don't mind it so much.
Right. And that's the difference, because it's the fanboys that are boo-hooing and bitching and moaning already about, you know, how terrible it's going to be without even seeing it. So, you know, some might say rightfully so for them, but for her, she's not deeply invested in it like we were, because we grew up with the lunchbox, the cartoons, the everything. We wanted to be Ghostbusters.
I think that's what probably, I won't say placates to the fans a little bit. Is that if it mirrors or complements the original,
right?
That therefore you will hear some bitching from the fans,
right?
But they'll be happy too that it mirrors a lot of what the original had,
right?
Kind of case in point, like I might have said with in the last Hostful with the Thing reboot, it played like a prequel.
Yeah, but that reboot's way better.
It was like a prequel, but it was also...
Right.
It played like a reboot. It also played like a prequel.
Yeah.
Because it kind of... It was complementing the John Carpenter.
Right.
We're not taking away of that film. We're making our own The Thing.
Right.
But we're making it in a way that if you want to watch The Thing,
right,
you can watch our film, then immediately watch The Thing, and it's like hand in hand. It's the prequel, and it's also not a prequel.
So, okay, here's the thing. Do you think it's better when a studio goes in from the get-go, going that we're going to make three movies or four movies of the same concept, or do you think it's better when they make a movie, it becomes successful, and then they go, oh, we need to make more of these?
I think I don't really like all that many sequels, I guess.
Right.
Like, one film and it's good, you should probably try not to make a sequel.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you leave it open, obviously we're going to expect a sequel.
Right.
But if you end a film just right.
Right.
But then decide, oh, we're going to pick it back up again and make a sequel.
Like Star Wars. But George Lucas will say that's not true.
But I actually like Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I do too. But
a case in point for that would be the new Judge Dredd remake.
Right.
They kind of left it quasi-open for a sequel.
Right.
If it what some, I know some people that don't like, if it's done well, if a remake is done well, they don't mind it.
Right.
If they do like Judge Dredd, if it does successful, it leaves them open for a sequel if possible.
Right.
That's fine. The reason why a lot of movies might do that, those who know their film history a little bit, the original Planet of the Apes, I'm talking the ones from the late 60s, early 70s.
Right.
What happened was, here you had a film made for maybe no more than $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
It made $30 million, or more than, like, $30, $40 million. It was a blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a standalone film, and it was made as a standalone film.
Yeah.
And since it was a blockbuster, Fox came around and said, all right, it's a success, we want a sequel.
Right.
And they didn't leave themselves open for a sequel. They kind of forced themselves to do a sequel, but Fox, in turn, back then was, as you see, there still are a bunch of fucking dicks and assholes, but they gave, instead of giving them more money, they gave them, instead of $15 million again, they gave them $12 million and told them, make a sequel.
Yeah,
and they made the sequel, and here's another movie that made $30-40 million, and they're like, okay, this probably not going to be another one. This sequel was a fluke. There's not going to be another one. It was a success. It was a blockbuster, and Fox said, "All right, we need another sequel.
Right,
make another one." Oh, fuck.
So when does the art start suffering? Like, do you think the art suffers? Or?
Yeah, I think it's because of that art does suffer.
Yeah.
Because now, because of, they don't, the, depending on the director,
mm-hmm.
the studio, the math that might goes into it, if they leave themselves open and it is, or say closed, and they mm-hmm. leave themselves closed, and it becomes a success, therefore, they can't really make another film.
Yeah.
But if they leave them possibility open for a sequel, it's like a lose-lose situation either way.
Right.
That way, if it is a blockbuster and it's open, they got a sequel. That's a win.
Right.
But if they close it and it's a success, they can't dig themselves out of that hole.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or if it's a failure and they have themselves open, again, it's going to be harder for them to make a sequel.
It makes a bad movie too. Like when you've planned it out to do sequels, but then the first one busts. Like you remember a movie called The Golden Compass?
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was good. The concept was good, but the problem was there was too much in the background with the author. A lot of controversy with him being an atheist, and people basically just boycotted the movie. And it didn't get a response, because what the books were saying at some point that these children kill God eventually, and they were like, we don't want to see this in a movie, and they boycotted the movie and boycotted it to death.
Same thing happened with Ender's Game. You had a great movie, great concept, which had sequels.
Right.
They left themselves open for sequels.
Oh, and it's an obvious opening, at the end.
But because of the author's comments about, I think it was like homosexuality or something like that.
Right.
It kind of did him in, and they don't want to, you know.
Now it's like, it's reserved in the $5 bin at Walmart now because they're not going to make another one. Yeah.
Right.
It's just like, it's like kind of like with Green Lantern. Like, they left that very open at the end.
I liked Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern.
I didn't hate it, but like, I hated, again, how small that universe felt.
Yep.
But the thing is, they, instead of blaming it on DC and the brothers blaming it on,
mm-hmm.
hey, we interfered too much into this.
Right.
they blamed it on, oh, it's campy, it's full of jokes, therefore we have to be more serious now and less, you know, more brooding and more Batman-esque.
Right.
That's, I think I was talking to somebody in Regal when I saw Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane, is that if you, for those who don't know comic history, what Marvel did, DC, if that was a success, DC had to do. If DC had something that was a success, Marvel had to copy.
Right.
And what now, what's going on, you kind of see that movie-wise.
Yeah.
Because you have a rated R, I want to say the first comic rated R comic.
Well, it's not, but
it's not. It's first
the most successful
rated R comic book movie. And right now you have... I could have brought it up in our last hostful, but it's more suited here.
Mm-hmm.
What you see now is more like it was announced by Warner Brothers that when Batman Superman hits DVD,
it's going to be R-rated.
R-rated.
Yep.
And that kind of makes the precedence, all right, now there's this rated R, a successful rated R comic book movie. Marvel might see that and say, hey, we can, because this was a success, we can make Wolverine
Old Man Logan
and make it an R-rated movie, and it could be just as successful.
Yeah.
And but DC might see, hey, Marvel's making rated R stuff and success, let's try to do that.
Right.
But here's the thing is that with Marvel, they're using B and C characters like Deadpool, Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
They're successful movies. And right now...
because they're done well.
And they're done well, and they're hitting hundreds of millions of dollars. Are they successes? Even though to the fans, they are. They're making money. But to let you... what most people don't realize, there's a... in order for a film to be a success... it, one, has to cover not only the what it's made, made for.
Yeah.
It also has to cover what its advertising budget is as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
The best known case, numbers-wise, that I could pull from is Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Right.
The one that just came out in December. That was made for made. Let me stress that out. Made for $250 million.
Right.
The advertising budget was another... $200 million for that. So it had, for that movie to break, minimum wise, it had to make $500 million. And is it considered a success? Yes, it is, because it made over $2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also some movies that might have made both the advertising budget back and the production budget back.
Right.
That due to creative budgeting or created accounting on the studios, because they wanted X actor come in to cheap and they worked a back end deal.
Right.
And for those who don't know, it's similar to for those who don't know movies but know music, it's the same basic concept.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that an actor will come in saying, my fee is normally $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
I'll work this movie for $3 million. But I feel this movie will be an uber blockbuster, so I want 3% of the back end, whatever it makes in the box office after it breaks even.
Right.
But if a movie studio like Fox or Warner Brothers or Miramax, they don't want to pay that. They want to keep a budget. Oh, it didn't make money.
Right.
Even though it might have made uber's amount.
Of oh yeah, 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 definitely.
But. In order, that's happened with Forrest Gump and a whole mess of other movies that were promised back-end deals. That's why even in Back to the Future was a blockbuster. It made its money back, but they claimed it wasn't a success.
Right.
Because of bookkeeping and accounting.
Yeah.
So it's Hollywood is fucked up at the least.
Yeah.
And it's even the Oscars is still fucked up. A lot of people say it's...
How can movies that were the top grossing films of the year not even be nominated?
It's part of...
Like that kills me.
What people don't realize in reference to the Oscars,
yeah,
they have, like, if I made a studio film, like, again, like using Star Wars as an example,
yeah,
I hire you to campaign for my movie,
yeah,
to be on that list,
right?
It's your job. I'm paying you $5 million to make sure my movie gets on that list and sticks in the judge's mind to get an award.
Right.
That's your job. Mm. And that's how it is. If they don't feel that there's star, like sci-fi films, horror films, some comedy films, they'll never make it to the Oscars because, one, the people in charge...
Mm-hmm.
Are a bunch of grumpy old men.
It's not grumpy old men. It's it's politics, mostly.
Yeah.
It's part grumpy old
men,
fogey old people that feel, hey, we're the Oscars. Comedy, horror, sci-fi, that's beneath us.
Yeah, like, how does a film like Spotlight, which I never even heard of.
I didn't hear about it until the Oscars came.
Right.
Yeah.
How?
And then our theater started playing.
Right, exactly. That nobody's ever heard of, that like was only in select theaters. It gets a nod for like film of the year. Who's seen it? Nobody. And it's supposed to be this wonderful film. I don't know what it is. But yet Star Wars makes record-breaking money. Deadpool makes record-breaking money. Doesn't even get a nod.
It's the same thing. It's that's an R-rated film.
So in other words,
The Oscars
are paid for awards.
Yeah, basically.
Just like the stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
And the thing is, with that's another documentary that I should bring up. It's this movie is not yet rated. It's again, it's on Netflix.
Is it?
It should be still on Netflix. It's about the whole, you know, rating system and what goes on, and they tell you that. Initially, the rating system, in reference to PGG, it was supposed to be every time, meaning that since you have a three,
mm-hmm,
qualifies you, if you're living in L.A., qualifies you to be on that board because you have a three-year-old.
Right.
And until that child, you could be on that board, ratings board, parental guidance ratings board.
Right.
Until that child hits 18 years old.
Oh, my God.
That qualifies you to be on that board. As soon as he turns 18, you're out of a job. But there are people there that are 50, 60 years old. Their kids are 27, 28 years old. And it's so much of a hassle. And they're so stuck up. And some of it, they have like five or six priests on that as well. Oh, as well, God. As, we're not just talking Catholic priests. We're talking know, rabbis and other religious higher ups, and it's not just priests, it's bishops and those and up that limit, you can't do that, you exceeded, even though there's no sex scene in this movie, you exceeded the number of pelvic thrusts in this movie.
Oh my god.
You've exceeded the number of crotch shots.
Right, literally. There's one too many bullets.
That's three. And only three. Shot. Four is too much.
Four is right out.
Two is too little.
Oh, they expended 348 bullets in this movie. Therefore, it gets an NC-17 rating. Oh, they said, you want a PG? Oh, they said the word fuck one too many times.
Yeah.
That's why you're only allowed fuck once in a PG-13 movie.
Right.
And it's so stupid, and even he tried to go into depth in reference to why this happens, and there's so much secrecy and bullshit involved that not even the people who make movies know what's going on with this.
Wow.
And in regards to, I'll give them a shout out here. The third one, at least the third one I want to bring up, is a documentary I recommend in reference to the movie industry. It's about one band, but I said that they're at least one of the hardest working bands out there, or were out there, and that's Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
The documentary is called "This Is Twisted Fucking Sister."
Yeah.
It's about how they were a pub band, a grunge band, not so much a grunge band, a pub band, a bar band.
Yeah.
For the greater part of the late early '70s.
Yeah.
To the '80s, and
in the New York, Long Island area, they once they started to get big, they started to go elsewhere. They covered a whole the deals and how they got a album deal with a punk label for a little while.
Because weren't some of the guys that were in the band, weren't they in other bands that were like punk bands and oi bands and stuff like that?
It was primarily... I recommended it as a great watch. At least rent it. Twisted, before Dee Snider came in, there were a bunch of other lead singers and drummers and so forth. They left and they brought in... Dee Snider was the only one from another band that came in. And they had reservations about him. He wanted to prove himself to the people who founded the band.
Right.
And one of the things that they talk about is that they got a deal with a punk album out of England and the European area. And they were big in Europe for a while. They did tours over there.
Right.
And they got Virgin, I think it was Virgin Records at the time, said, went to them and said, hey, we want Twisted Sister, you know, we'll give you money so they can be a part of, it was the equivalent of like a major music festival they were putting it on, so obviously they got to bring in bands.
Right.
And they said, well, we hear that in Europe, Twisted Sister's big over here, here's a bunch of money, bring them over, you know, we want a part of the group. And as soon as they got that money, the label that they were with, the partner, took the money and ran and bankrupted the business, so they had to stay home for 3-4 months. And I think they were signed with Atlantic Records at the time. And when they were talking about it, the American side, they were told by the CEO hated them so much. They were literally told, the CEO told them, and if anybody brings up Twisted Sister, the name Twisted Sister, even though they were big in the New York area, I mean literally big, if you bring up, you're fired.
Wow.
Jesus. So one of the guys that was trying to root for the band gave a demo tape and a few photos to their British affiliate.
Yeah.
And he, on the way back, took one look at Dee Snider and the band and how they looked and just tossed them in the garbage.
Oh my God.
It wasn't until somebody else over there said, you gotta hear out this band. They called themselves for his sister. And when they finally brought him over to the States, they were like, oh no, they didn't want to give him any publicity at all.
Oh yeah.
And the thing is, during that point when they were talking about their first album deal, how the CEO said, we need to sell 2 million, at least 1 million of these records to get a, you know, platinum album.
Right.
That was the only time I seen literally disappointment on Dee Snider's face.
Yeah.
Literally a look of defeat and sadness from a man that you could tell is very passionate about what he does.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, at the time I was told it's either 1 million people or 200,000. My answer should have been, with hindsight, both. I want both.
Mm-hmm.
But I chose the million sales record. The album, first album, was sold 2 million copies.
Right.
But he said it should have been both.
Right.
And he just had just that defeated look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I recommend it as a
as
a watch. It's a great watch. It's definitely, they use a lot of archived footage.
Yeah.
So you might think if you have like a flat screen TV, you want to like, something wrong with my fucking TV.
Yeah.
But it's really the old school.
Do they did they talk about their involvement in Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
They might have a little
bit. That was kind of a big break for them, I guess, back in the day. I think
time during Virgin, when they got the record deal.
It was during Stay Hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have that album.
There you go.
On CD.
There you go.
But
they say, you're going to burn in hell.
But it's a whole mess of fun stuff. You know, I said, those are the three documentaries about music and film that I recommend. But what else? Horror movies.
Ooh, yeah. I love horror films.
Best horror movie experience.
Best horror movie experience. I'd have to say the time I went to see Woman in Black. That one was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
I saw it at the Berkeley Plaza, if you know where that is.
Yeah.
Of course you know where that is.
They're putting in new seats.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, like every time there was like a scare, half the theater, and I'm not talking like a scattered people, I'm talking divided right in half. This side of the theater screamed. This side of the theater, the other side of the theater, laughed at the people that were screaming. And on top of that, it was also a bad experience. I like the film. I love the film. It was, like, really, really creepy. It still creeps me out to this day. I get night terrors from it. Anyway, the bathrooms, all but one toilet was working. So I went out to use the bathroom. And there was a long line, so I waited. And then when I finally got into the bathroom, I decided to use one of the broken toilets because I really, really had to pee. Drinking before seeing a movie is a really bad idea. Anyway, and I'm sitting in there, and I'm trying to pee, and I can't pee because everybody's, like, knocking on the door, like, are you down in there? And I'm just like, fine, fuck it. I'm going to go back to my seat. So I'm just sitting there in the seat like this, getting scared, like, just to have the jump scares at me. I'm not physically screaming. I'm just like, oh, God. I really hope I don't pee myself.
How about you?
It's kind of a non-traditional one because horror movies don't scare me like at all. Like they just don't. Like I think they're silly, but at the same time, like they're good. You know, I like watching them. Like I love slashers and stuff like that. one that it's a non-traditional horror movie would be Event Horizon. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Yeah, it's a very good thrill.
That is fucked up. Like the scene that got. It got me the most was like when Sam Neill's like, where are we going? We don't need eyes, and reveals that he's dug out his own eyeballs.
Ew.
Yeah,
it's a very creepy, eerie film.
What
is this? Event Horizon.
Event Horizon. Basically,
don't watch it in the dark.
Don't watch it by yourself. basically, it's a space shuttle or like a spaceship that they create like a artificial black hole within the ship that lets it bend space-time so they can go across. Well, turns out the ship went somewhere else and comes back. And the crew is all dead. And so they're trying to figure out what happened to the ship. Well, it turns out it went to a hell dimension.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, not good.
Is this anything like Hellraiser in space?
You could say that in a way.
Yeah, but it's done very well. Buddy, a guy I knew when I worked for Colson's before you started, he worked at the theater at the mall down in Winchester, and he got a chance to see it the night before, that Thursday night when it opened instead of Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They got out right at midnight, I think it was. It was, or whenever it was. As soon as they left the theater, the people who own the property shut off every one of the parking lot lights.
Yeah.
As soon as they got outside, like 10 feet away from the theater, all the lights shut up. They couldn't find their car. And they were like, oh, crap. And paranoia sits in.
Yeah.
But it was perfect for that. It gives that feeling.
But a very eerie
for me,
movie.
The best, at least for a horror movie goes, the movie itself was not that good, but the experience was par. You heard me say this story before. I don't know I told it to you. It was for Hellraiser 4 Bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Hellraiser in space, by the way.
Yeah, that was the Hellraiser in space.
Is that the one with Hellraiser in space?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, it's a decent Hellraiser movie, but when I saw it, I was in Florida at the time.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who haven't lived in Florida or been to Florida before, their weather is like for 5 minutes, it could be downpour rain. And 5 minutes after that, it looks like it never even happened. And there could be clouds, there could be no clouds, whatever. Before I walk in, it decides just not to open up what Floridians call rain. Everybody else calls monsoon.
Right.
And it was on monsoon-level heavy rain as soon as I walked through the door. Meaning my car was parked maybe 20 feet away, and I could not see it. And there was thunder, lightning, the whole works. And I'm going to see a horror movie. I get my drink, my popcorn. They had a mix and match bulk candy thing. I got, Reese's Pieces, M&M's, peanut M&M's, you know, the whole nine, Crunch, like the Crunch, the Candy Crunch,
yeah,
size.
Yeah.
I'm going down to, with the whole kit and caboodle, down to where it's at. It was the last theater down the hallway on the right, and right next to that door was a flickering fluorescent bulb, and you hear the storm outside pounding on the roof, and you hear the thunder, the whole nine, and I'm going, like, best movie experience
ever. Thank you,
and
Andrew.
One of maybe a half dozen to a dozen people in that theater on opening day, and all of us was like, could not sit in front of each other just in case somebody in the back snapped. It's like, we're all like, oh yeah. I walk out after the movie ends, and it's like the ground is bone dry.
Yeah.
90 degree. It's like 90. It's starting summer, so it's like 90 degrees out. Ground is bone dry. No, not even a hint of a storm happened. Car's bone dry. Ground's bone dry. No humidity. Like, what the fuck? Perfect. You know, go into a storm, come back, happy ending, and no storm, no hint of rain. Awesome. Bad. You know, it was like, if the movie ranked as a 7, this boarded up to at least a 9.5. Like, how awesome can this be? Can't reproduce that ever.
That's awesome.
But it's all right. Kind of switch up comedies.
Comedies.
I'm not a big comedy fan.
I'm a huge. That's a problem. I'm a huge comedy fan.
That's why I don't really. It always seems like all the guys I've ever dated, they're all into comedies, and I'm like, no, I don't like comedies.
Like, no. Well, one. There's a couple like really bad ones, but the one that I remember, because it was so at the time, was so like not like anything that was out because it was so over the top and weird, was the first Anchorman movie with Will Ferrell.
I haven't seen that one.
Okay.
I know it's on Netflix, but
yeah, watch it. The second one, not so much.
I like who were we talking about in the last segment?
Mel Brooks. Yeah.
I like Mel Brooks. He's funny.
Yeah.
Monty Python stuff.
I like Monty Python.
Oh, yeah, but I've never seen those in the theater, though.
Right.
But Anchorman was so, like, new and fresh, and the way that they did the comedy was just over the top. You know how Will Ferrell is.
Yeah.
It just so incredibly just ridiculous stuff. I had to go see it twice. The first time I went, I was laughing so hard through the movie that my face, the next day, literally, it felt like it was somebody had been punching me in the face. It was like, felt like it was bruised. Like, I had this permanent fucking smile on my face from just fucking laughing so hard. I missed half of the movie.
I'm like that.
I didn't see the end because tears were running out of my eyes and my face hurt, and I was just like, oh my God! So I had to go back and see it a second time, and the second time was almost as bad as the first time. That one and the movie Old School. Do you know what that one is?
Yeah, I know. I'm not a big Will Ferrell
fan. I know. It's just at the time, I guess that's what I was really into. But when when they're driving around, like, I had made a mistake and took a girl on a date to this. And everybody's like, don't wear a white shirt. And of course, I wear a white shirt. And fucking
not kicking us out, but
laughing. Huh?
It's after 4, and they haven't kicked us out yet. So
yes! But, like, spilling drink all over myself because I'm laughing so hard and drooling on myself. Yeah, that was a bad idea.
I don't have one, other than, you know, Mel Brooks and Monty Python. They're not really... it's not really a theater release. To me, it's the John Johnson Skeleton Key film.
Oh, yeah.
At times, I've been at my darkest, you know, just brooding, down, really depressed. And, you know, he comes out with a new Skeleton Key movie, and I pop it in. And 3 hours later, I'm messaging him on Facebook, motherfucker, I'm watching this for a third goddamn time, you asshole. Because I'm watching it once, I'm laughing at everything, then I'm watching it again to listen to the commentary, then I'm watching it a third goddamn time because they mentioned shit on third...
Yeah.
Because something happening in the background that I missed the first time around.
Right.
And that's when I'm like, You motherfucking asshole.
That's how Kevin Smith movies are for me. Like, I love Kevin Smith movies. Yeah. Like, and so, like, I probably watch Mallrat like a record time. I don't know. Like, I probably watch it like a million times. But, like, I always see something new or hear something new in it, and it always makes me laugh. Clerks, same thing. Clerks 2. Clerks 2 is absolutely ridiculous.
Next girlfriend I get, she hasn't seen Clerks 2. She's being tied to a chair and watched it.
Yeah, strapped in, duct tape, holding it. Do you like donkeys?
You ever see a donkey show?
You don't like comedy, so you have no good comedy experiences at all?
No. I mean, I went to a theater, and we were going to see a scary movie. We were going to see the remake of My Bloody Valentine, which I was actually really excited to see.
It's horrible.
Was it?
Yeah, it was terrible.
I would have still wanted to see it.
Because you're a Dean Winchester fan.
I am a Dean Winchester fan. Anyway.
Wasn't it Sammy that was in that one, though?
The guy that I was dating...
Sammy was in Friday the 13th.
Okay.
The guy that I was dating at the time suddenly wussed out at the last minute and said, oh, why don't you watch Paul Blart? I'm like, are you serious?
Paul Blart.
Mall Cop.
Yeah, I know, but Paul Blart, really?
Because we're about to... You know, guys, how it's being remade? Even though it's been over 20 years, movie being remade this time, it's by Disney.
What's that?
Pete's Dragon.
That might be cute.
I can see
it's not.
Right?
It's CG, they, instead of...
We're
talking about a movie that...
Think about if you're a kid, though. Not from an adult perspective. Think about if you're a kid. Is it going to be cute if you're a kid?
It's not even. It's
really
dark. It's...
Well, it's dark.
They made it dark.
Why would you make Pete's Dragon dark?
Yeah.
Weird.
And where the... It was like, when I was young, I know my folks like, dude, you could watch that movie and know instantly what's going to happen next. And you could quote that line. You've seen it so many times, you could probably quote what it... Movie word for word. That's how many times I watched it as a kid.
Yeah.
But...
Wow. It's like...
No, it's...
Oh, I meant to bring it up the last time. What do you think? And it's kind of off subject, but what do you think of the new Warcraft movie that's coming out?
I haven't really played the game.
I haven't either. Well, I mean, I've played like about 15 minutes of it now. I was like, this is dumb.
It's supposed to be based on the original three games.
Yeah, I have that game at home.
I'll see. You know, they might do it in regards to bring in non-fans.
Right.
But
so game in the lineage of games to movies, which I guess is ties into this episode. So that would be a good genre. So games to movies, you think it's going to do well?
Better than what's out there.
Okay.
Meaning
because there's not a lot of good ones.
No, I think one of the better gaming. There have been, I'd say, two decent gaming movies based on games.
Right.
One is at least that did it fairly well. That was the first Mortal Kombat movie.
Mm. Yes, decently. I'll agree with that.
And there's a... you could find it on Hulu. There's a Street Fighter film. No.
The Chun-Li one?
No. Chun-Li. It's not the Van Damme. It's not the animated. It follows strictly the storyline of Ken and... what's his name? The Ryu.
Ryu. I don't know how to pronounce it. Someone tell us how to pronounce it.
Those two. It takes place in the 80s.
Right.
Because the Ken's father brings a Capcom Mega Man cartridge to them to play while they're... Because it kind of follows them from kids.
Right.
It brings a cartridge and they're like, dibs, and they play it on an NES.
Right.
So it's done very well. It kind of nods to every... It doesn't really pick up a lot of the characters, meaning they show the military... might hint at the military guy.
Right, Guile.
Guile. At a bar that they attend, kind of sneak off from the dojo. They kind of lay hint to him being there. But they... hint at a lot of the going by a lot of the current mythos in Street Fighter,
right?
In regards to an evil Ryu and their trainers and so forth and so on, what they did to learn all that, and it's strictly them. I mean, it's done very well. It's not campy, and it's not piss poor done.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'd have to check it out. Like, what do you think of? You remember that fucking Mario Brothers movie?
Oh, dear God.
I watched it not long ago to see if it was as bad as it was when I was a child. Yeah. It's still bad.
It's pretty bad. Speaking of which, have you found movies other than that didn't hold up to you know, the youth when you seen it way back then?
I'm going to say yes. I watched, when I was younger, when it first came out, Van Helsing. I'm not sure if anyone remembers that one.
Yeah.
You mean the Wolverine wannabe?
Yes. And I realize that now. I watched that thing like 20 times when I was younger, and I loved it so much. And now that I watch it, it's like I can laugh at it because it's kind of bad.
Right.
I still, every now and again, not so much a lot of that.
But bad in a good way.
To me, it's, you know, I keep going back to it like a bad, you know, bad itch, bad tooth infection. It's always going to be Life Force for me.
Life Force. Life Force.
But
if this podcast had a movie.
That's a canon film, too.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that explains a lot. if this podcast had a movie mascot, it would be Life Force.
Yeah. I always say there's always the movie.
Take a drink.
Yeah, every five seconds. Oh, God.
There are movies I call Saturday afternoon movies.
Yeah.
Like that. One of the movies I call that is the movie Explorers.
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's great for a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, there's not a big, giant, like, plot. You know, it's a kind of a just fun movie to watch.
Monster Squad is one of those.
Monster Squad. I love that movie!
Goonies,
yeah, that's my
Please idea. Don't make a remake of that. Just leave it alone.
They're thinking of doing a sequel.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
Leave my childhood alone.
Leave it alone, please. Just leave it alone. I don't want a Goonies remake. I don't want a sequel. I don't want anything. I just don't. Just leave it alone.
I don't want a reboot.
It's fine. It's fine how it is.
Leave it
alone. Don't touch it.
That movie has been just passed down from generation to generation.
It's gold. On its own, it's perfectly fine.
Maybe about
I think Monster Squad
cooked
the way it is too. It's campy.
Yeah,
it's a kids' movie.
It has a beginning, middle, and it's over.
And the thing is, it has one of the greatest confusions to me. And it, like, all right, here's a force that has the power of like a black hole, can suck everything in. Right. What's one of the main characters doing? Hiding behind an unbolted to the floor park bench.
Of course.
Like 10 feet away.
Yeah, you didn't know the power of park benches. If you don't have a machine gun, get yourself a park bench.
That's another problem with someone. It's like, wait a minute, you walk away, you have an AK-47, you shot 15 million people, all of which have AK-47s. You don't pick up extra ammo? Motherfucker!
Never.
AKA They Live.
Oh, yeah, I love They Live. That's a good Saturday afternoon movie.
That's a Saturday afternoon movie. And
somebody I know just got a tattoo, a They Live tattoo.
And one of the best. It wasn't meant as a flub. It wasn't meant as a goof. The director left it in as because it kind of fit the character. It's because Piper once said that if he's allowed to wear his wedding ring in on set during the movie, he'll wear his wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
And who did They Left? Carpenter?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, wear the ring. Wear the ring. And here you have this loner walking into town wearing a wedding ring.
Yeah.
And it just adds to the mystery of the character.
Yeah, it's like,
was he a married man looking for work to support his family?
Yeah.
And just caught up in this shit or what? You know, it just fit the character that Sparks.
Yeah. The hell was that?
Stretching?
Stretch on your goddamn time.
So on that before these anything yet? I know we when I spoke to Lloyd, a.k.a. Bob, he didn't like, what's his name?
I don't like shit.
Did, Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, yeah. Why? I can't figure out why he doesn't like Pulp Fiction.
I think...
Is it the style?
I think it's the style.
Oh, okay.
The director's style. Quentin Tarantino style.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like Quentin Tarantino. But see, a lot of people don't like Quentin Tarantino because, like Kevin Smith movies, he tends to be a little wordy. A little long in the tooth with the dialogue. I like it because it explains the characters
and
better.
Something that there's in the movie said to talk about.
Right.
Like White said, he doesn't like Pulp Fiction and a lot of Tarantino's movies, but he likes Django.
Right.
For some strange
Django reason. Django is less like a Quentin Tarantino movie than any Quentin Tarantino movie he's ever made. Like, Inglourious Basterds I thought was a departure, but at the same time I go back to it and I go, no, it's actually a very good Quentin Tarantino movie. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Love
and
it.
And the thing is,
love
the reason why I like Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez's films is because that a lot of it's that grindhouse style,
right?
Which
I'm not as much of a fan of Robert Rodriguez, but that's
it's
just a preference.
It's like taking we want to do our own shit,
yeah.
And that's a breath of fresh air in the series. They're taking our shit, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, this is our shit. We want to do it.
I love the grindhouse.
Yeah,
not so much the Robert Rodriguez half, but the Death Proof half.
Yeah,
oh my, that's seriously, it's in my top 10.
And
because because where you're talking about Roddy Piper's depth of this character, yeah. in the movie, like you really got a lot of depth with like Stuntman Mike, like
right.
Why is he that way? He gets his job killing women, but in such a dramatic and he's thought the whole thing out. Prior to like stalking these women and killing them, he's thought the whole process. I'm gonna get them, you know. They're gonna be drunk at a bar. I'm gonna be watching them, but I'm gonna be sober. They're gonna go down the road, and I'm gonna murder them with my car with an accomplice. You know, and just and crazy, 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 yeah. Crazy, and like
why I like the show series Dusk to Dawn.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I have to watch season 2. I'm starting on it. I watch on Netflix. Including the rest of Jessica Jones, season 2 of Dusk to Dawn.
Daredevil just started.
Second season Daredevil just dropped. At least when we're recording this,
right.
It's a lot to watch. Dusk to Dawn took a 2-hour movie and spread it over 20 episodes, 18-20 episodes. And I want to watch season 2. It looks like it's getting good. Rodriguez is doing a great job.
Yeah.
Literally a great job with it. He's taking a mythos and he's
not
really. It's why I like. Dracula 2000. It was a dumb movie.
Yeah, but
it added a little bit to the Dracula mythos,
right.
Of why Dracula became Dracula,
yeah,
so to speak. So.
Hey, there's a good Mel Brooks movie I actually did see in theaters. What? We were talking about kind of, Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was hilarious. Have you ever seen Dracula Dead and Loving It?
No, I haven't.
Oh yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm currently constructing a list of movies you ask me if I've seen, and it's like nope.
You're telling this guy I work with, he's 23, and every time I say something about a movie, he's like, I haven't seen it. I'm like, oh god.
On that note, we're gonna go. Any last words, Zombie Bunny?
Potato.
Nope, I'm good.
Any last words, Big Candy?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, in that case, I'm the Rev. We're out. And may, if you unless you have a peanut allergy, may you put peanut butter on anything and everything you enjoy.
Oh, wait, whoa.